The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Doncaster and Salisbury domestically. We've also got a good card over in Ireland from Cork, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, Mr. Mark Walton. I'm very well.
Good. That's what we like to hear. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing, as I've just mentioned. But we're also going to have a little bit of a glance towards Royal Ascot, because that gets underway on Tuesday.
I'm just not bothered about it.
No.
No, I'm going to take the week off.
To be fair, this year's Royal Ascot is shaping up to be a belter. There's some great races already lining up at the Royal Meeting.
Yeah, the problem is that I've really had to train myself out of anti-post opinions in the likes of Cheltenham. Cheltenham is a bit easier, I suppose, because horses are targeted at specific races for months and months and months.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Ascot, I try not to develop them too early, which is not going to help this podcast, admittedly. But it's just, you find yourself having an opinion, and then it's hard enough picking the winner as the last one goes into the stalls, never mind with days in advance. So there's a lot of horses I'm very much looking forward to, and I've been marked off, and I've got great figures, and I'm definitely, like, an obscene amount over the past few weeks. It got to the point where every day I was getting excited about some horse who'd done some figure in some impressive performance. But the problem is everything changes. But you...
Beautiful.
I'm very excited. What a week. I mean, you wake up in the morning, go through the racing, you watch Royal Ascot, I come home and have me tea, and I've got 3 World Cup games. I mean...
Oh, tell you what.
I am going to be single by the end of the week.
Yes.
Oh, dear. I'm just going to literally just give Sarah a credit card or something and say, look, that's a terrible idea. That's a
brave,
idea.
Brave man.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough with the...
I'm excited. What can I say?
Good. Let's talk about some of the stories surrounding horses that will be going to Royal Ascot then.
You throw a story at me, I will indulge you.
Right, nice. We'll start with My Titania, who is finally going to be on a racecourse this season. Obviously had problems getting to the racecourse, but this daughter of See the Stars will line up in the Coronation Stakes, and John Ox is pretty confident by the sounds of things.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have an opinion. she was one of the first of See the Stars' offspring to really sort of catch the eye and really make a hugely positive impact, because obviously his offspring were always going to be better as they got older. But My Titania won in group company at the back end of last season, and obviously being owned by the same gentleman who owned her illustrious father, then she was doubly exciting. Things just haven't gone quite right for her. And the thing with the Coronation Stakes is it's going to be a very open race. With the likes of Miss France not going, and also because, well, two reasons. One, fillies just they're all over the place all season. I mean, they're so much harder to predict than colts, and also because the 1,000 guineas I thought was a complete farce, much like it has been for the past few years to an extent. I didn't think they went any real pace. I'm not entirely sure the form's that reliable, mm-hmm. which means anything could win it. So that's going to be a bonus for John Ox, because he's not going to be coming up against. It's not like if you say you're a 3-year-old colt who's only just making his appearance, you're going to be coming up against Kingman and Knight of Thunder, and you're going to go, I've got no chance. My Titania has an open playing field to make her debut. So yeah, exciting stuff.
It is, yeah. And if she improves as much as the other offspring of See the Stars have from 2 to 3, kind of like himself as well, mm-hmm. then she's going to be exciting this year.
Yeah, very much so, and especially because John Ox is. Obviously, he's had a pretty rough couple of seasons in terms of winners, and it'd be nice to see something really positive come out.
Okay, well, we're hopefully going to see My Titania at Royal Ascot. We might not see Tormo, though. They're considering going to France with him rather than Royal Ascot.
Yeah. The good thing about the flat season, and kind of the bad thing in a way, I suppose, depending on which way you look at it, is there's so many opportunities. it's good for connections, and it's good because you're constantly, every week, every month, you've got an exciting horse or an exciting race to get involved in. The problem is, it does make avoiding your rivals a little bit easier. You know, Tormo was quite well beaten in the Guineas, but who knows whether he could turn that form around. He's going to be interesting. He's going to be very interesting, depending on what they do with him. But I can kind of see what they're thinking. Especially, they're going to think, we know how good this horse is now against his rivals, and go and win a Group 1 in France. And especially because Midland Park, this is the apple in their eye. So, and they're an admirable organisation. So I'm hoping they do well. They're now going to become one of the big boys, but they're still the small fry. Well, they're always going to be small fry against Qatari millions, aren't they? So billions. So yeah. I can see why they're going to do that, and it'll weaken the race slightly, but not enough for it to really affect the contest as a whole.
Okay. Anything else stand out to you for Ask? Anything else you want to mention before I move on?
Well, there's too many. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, Knight of Thunder versus Kingman is going to be the most exciting. I think Knight of Thunder will potentially confirm the form.
Yeah. It's interesting for that, isn't it? Because Kingman's a short price favourite, but...
I'd flip a coin personally. So at that price, you've got to play. I think you just got to play Knight of Thunder. I think Kingman will be better if it turns into a real sprint, but then Knight of Thunder's hardly a plodder. So that's definitely the most exciting matchup of day one, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, kicks off with a bang, doesn't it? Day one, first couple of days out, very very exciting at the moment. But we can't dwell. We must move on to Sunday's racing. And we'll get Ross's thoughts on three of the day's races in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday's racing. We've got a pretty good Sunday coming up with racing at Doncaster and Salisbury. Ross has picked out three races for us, and the first of them is the 2:30 at Doncaster, which is a Class 5 classified stakes over a mile and a quarter, with nine of them in the lineup here, and Selling All the Time arrives here in winning form. Ross, do you see him backing up, or have you got something else on the shortlist in the race?
No and yes.
Okay.
I was impressed with the way he went about it. Subtle. I managed to just about get my money back that day, because I backed him a couple of times this year, and he's been costly. Most notably at Beverley, where he was all over the place and probably should have won. But yeah, last time out, it was a day where Michael Appleby did really well on the 5% of one of many. Ali Rawlinson took over, who was a very good round Southall. The front two in the market were pretty modest, and he galloped all over them, and I think he'll be a very good horse on that surface. But this is going to be a different kind of race. He's got a jockey that's not ridden before, and he's a tough ride. He's not the easiest of rides, admittedly. And there's a couple of interesting horses here who are finally running in races they could possibly win. One of them is Heartstrings, who finished a good second to Baby Bush at Newbury on its first start last year, and then since it was well beaten at Ascot and Windsor, but in two very strong maidens, this horse could definitely be better than 70. But the one who's been on my horse tracker since it made its debut at Kempton was Semoral, who represents a yard who are in fantastic form at the moment. Chris Worley's really knocking winners in left, right and centre. This horse ran in a half-decent maiden at Kempton, then went to Yarmouth behind Abseil in a race that I immediately had down as a good one. The winner, obviously, is Royal Ascot bound, and these winners come out of it left, right and centre. But Semoral, she just caught the eye, just staying on. She had no chance. She was 100-1 against much better horses. She had no chance. Then she went to Warwick and finished third at 50s in a really nice race, and I thought this is a definite handicap prospect. And she runs at a time when the yard's horses can do no wrong. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing Semoral in a race that she can actually win.
Okay, Semoral, the selection in the 2:30 at Doncaster. Then the next race we're going to look at is the 3:55 at Salisbury, and this is a listed race. It's the Cathedral Stakes over 6 furlongs, and last year's winner Professor comes back to defend his crown. So we might as well start with him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to follow him in again. He was not necessarily impressive last year, but I like the way he went about it. Sometimes it's hard to be impressive under Richard Hughes, because he's just so cool and calculated when it comes to these things. He just sort of, he's by a length and a half, and you know there's more in the locker, but they don't look wildly impressive. Since then, he's struggled a little bit, but he's running a variety of odd races over 7 furlongs, over a mile. And they dropped him back to 6 last time out, and he found his feet again. He was drawn out wide at Windsor. Things never really went to plan. He was never in a great position, but he stayed on quite nicely behind Rocky Crown in what was quite a hotly contested little race. I think he's going to be very hard to beat in this return. It's a good listed race, admittedly. Ballista's going to be the pace of the race. Highland Calori's not a bad horse on his day, although I think this year he's certainly not been running to a mark of 109-110. And Artistic Jewel's got course and distance form as well, and certainly wasn't disgraced on her return on softer ground than she would have liked. But yeah, I'm going to be sticking with Professor. I think he's very much a horse to keep on the right side after that run last time out, and his fourth at the start of the season over at Leicester reads very well as well. I think there's a lot to like about him.
Okay, Professor then, to win the Cathedral Stakes for a second year in succession. And the 5.20 at Doncaster is the final race we're going to look at. This is a Class 4 handicap on the round course over a mile, and we've got 13 of them in the lineup. Several of them coming into this in winning form or good form, and you've picked a tricky one here, also a competitive race to get out with.
It's some race, this, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a really, really good handicap. I'm looking forward to it. Doncaster, they occasionally have these really strong handicaps, 3-year-olds in particular. Mm. Yeah, I'm excited about this. There's some really nice horses in it. We'll start off with horses I'm not going to be back in, the likes of Sarah Al Kadra, who was given too much to do on his seasonal reappearance, and then just got the better at Warwick, but he shapes like he's got a little bit more to come. Mayfield Boy, who was very impressive the way he battled at Newmarket, beating Flycatcher, but I don't think that form was particularly good. I thought Bridie French's form was a bit of a mess. The race did kind of fell apart. Billingsgate, who won last year, first time up at Kempton, was beaten by a slow pace last time out. High King is very much the interesting one. She bolted up at Windsor on debut. She then won at Lingfield despite looking pretty awkward, but she was narrowly beaten at Kempton on her last start. I'm not entirely sure whether she's completely the full ticket, and I do prefer Charlton horses with a run under their belt. Big fan of this Ida, though. Big fan. He was one of the first horses this season to go in the notebook straight away at Leicester. He battled on well at Newmarket last year in soft ground to win his maiden, and then he was all the rage at Leicester. But he was so keen, so free. He hit the front with Alex Vino, who was the other one. Both of them went into the notebook after that run. He hit the front far too soon. He was still travelling really well, but it's like seeing a car driving along and you don't know how much petrol's in it, and then it just grinds into a halt and you're going, oh. From an outside perspective, you've no idea, but the horse had clearly used up far too much energy early on. It was a bit disappointed at the time, I suppose, the way it had been backed and its promise or whatever, but I thought it was a really, really nice run. The amount of energy he used up to get there would definitely excuse the way he finished his race. And I'm surprised it's taken him 2 months to come back, but hopefully we'll have strengthened up since then. Yeah, been waiting for him for 2 months, so okay. Hopefully... nobody will listen to this podcast and back him. I do.
Yeah, and the way he weakened a little bit last time in the closing stages, as you say, it was very keen early on, but dropping in trip here as well, that's going to help, isn't it?
He is, yeah. He's down to a mile. Ground is, it's going to be good ground at Doncaster. Doncaster ground is never particularly a worry. Both his runs came in soft last year, and you always kind of think, oh, well, maybe they want soft then. But if you're making your debut, if you're going to be a 3-year-old and you're making your debut at the back end of your 2-year-old season, you're getting into September, October, it's going to be soft anyway. So
yeah,
whether he wants it or whether he just had to have it is another matter entirely. Yeah, looking forward to him.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Ross, before you go. If you'll spin us through your three selections one more time.
I will indeed. 2.30 will go for Semeral, the 3.55 it's Professor, and the 5.20, looking forward to Ida.
Okay, good work. Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy it on Sunday.
I will, don't you worry about it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1.35pm with Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi and Mark Slater in the studio. Doncaster and Salisbury are the meetings domestically. There's also a good card over in Ireland from Cork as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.